You know what? I just feel to pray first. Let's do that. Lord, we just come before you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. And I come into agreement with what Ralph said. Bring revelation this morning as we feast upon your word. Father, again, we thank you. We are blessed. We're blessed by your presence with us here. We've asked Holy Spirit to come and fill this atmosphere, not only within us, but the air around us. Thank you that you are here and present. So we just want to experience you in all areas. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, who said we could ask anything. And the answer was yes. Amen. Amen. Well, simple message title this morning. Psalms 1. We are just going to take, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take it like a meal. You know, you have your plate, it's full, it's got your potatoes, your peas, your meat, your salad, and all of that. And you kind of, you could be like some people who like their plate all divided so the food doesn't touch. There's people who like that, that's fine. Or there's those of us who like a little gravy on our salad. They like it to touch. But we want to just feast on the word this morning. And so we're going to start by going to the very first verse, and we're just going to start right there. Blessed is the one. We're going to stop there. You know, when we look at that word blessed, when you go into the concordance, it means happy. Pronounced happy and made happy. So, I have a question for you. Where is your happy place? You know, I'm going to give you a chance to think about that. Where is your happy place? You know, that can actually be a place that you go to, or it can be just a place you go to in your mind. Where do you feel that joy? And you know, for each one of us, it's going to be different. Different things, different thoughts bring that happiness. But this description of blessed, happy, also takes on the idea it's a place of God's favor and protection. So one of the things that I hope this morning you find a happy place in is in the Word of God and in the presence of God. I sing a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies because of the Word of the Lord, because of His presence with us. So we've asked Holy Spirit to take us to the happy place, to a place of favor and protection in Jesus. I love that song. He will fight for me. He'll climb any mountain, kick down any wall, coming after you. You know, you start wandering off, he's going to leave the 99 and come and get you. Aren't you happy about that? So blessed, happy, placed in God's favor and protection is the one. Well, who's that one? Well, it's a man. It's a human being and mankind. But you know what it also says? Husband. So I just want to kind of zone in that and just bless you husbands. Blessed is the husband who gets into the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one, the husband. And you know in Scripture that it talks about the husband who praise Scripture over his wife, who blesses his wife, who reads the word, washes her with the word. And there's I want you just to kind of think of that. So as a husband, just think of that. But also, this blessed one isn't just a husband. It is mankind. It is us females as well. And it also refers to being champion and great men or great men and women. But not champions because of our doing anything. Champions because we live in the blessing. Are you living in the blessing this morning? Can you say, yes, I am a blessed one? I am a blessed one. Well, let's continue on with that, with this scripture. So it's interesting that this little psalm takes us, and it kind of takes us through it, through the blessing in a negative way. And you see what I mean? Who does not, but who does not walk in step with the wicked. This idea is about walking about with them, moving away. When we walk with the wicked, now, we want to minister to those who are unbelievers, right? We would call them sinners and the wicked, but we never want to walk in step with them. We never want to get to a place where we're thinking like them and living like them and going the direction like them. And it is, the blessing is not there and walking with them. That word walk in step, walk about or move away, depart, and to be led away, live a manner of life like the wicked. So it's telling us don't get involved with the wicked that way. The wicked are considered the ungodly, the criminals, those that are hostile towards God and guilty of sin against God and man. They act wickedly in their ethics and in their religion. And you say, well, why would I ever walk in step with somebody that's wicked or that? Well, it's easy to fall into step. It says, blessed is the believer. Blessed is the one who moves, who does not move away, who doesn't keep step with them. We look here in Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So here we need to understand that there's a couple of things that comes with an understanding that we can get haughty in that. We who walk by the Spirit, we're going to go restore. We're going to go save our brother or our sister. And we can see ourselves as higher than them, better than them. And it says, don't fall into that temptation. Don't fall into their, or be tempted into the way they are living. You know, years, well, it isn't all that long ago, a gal that I know was so for, you know, I can't wait to get married, and I'm saving myself for that day. And then she met somebody. And no, we're going to wait, but eventually she started listening to the friends that she kept company with. Oh, what you should live together before you get married. You should know how. And then she went online and researched, and what is the findings of this. And eventually she talked herself into following, or she was allowed to talk herself into following, and moved in with her boyfriend. And God says that that's not the way. And so we can become those, you know, even as a believer, can be led away if we keep and walk in sync with those who aren't following the way of the Lord. We call them the wicked or sinners. It's not that we're not supposed to reach out, but in this scripture in particular, is talking about referring to following believers, that we want to restore believers, and we need to be careful. Because as a fellow believer, they can, again, give you their view and opinion of something, and it can sound, well, that sounds right, that sounds good, that sounds. But we want to know what the word of the Lord says. We don't want to be walking in darkness. 1 John 1:5-7, it says, this is the message we have heard from him who declared to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now I can tell you that this gal is living for the Lord. And so is her husband. And I can also tell you that I think both of them would be in agreement now. It wasn't the best idea for them to do that. They were restored, but led away first. And I think that there came with some regrets. It's interesting when we walk with people What I mean is that we share a life with people, we include them in as friends and good fellowship with them and all of that, who are sinners and not being careful about, and I'm very cautious about how I put this, but let me share an article. It's from the New York Magazine by Drake Breyer, who's, it's an article about people naturally sink their bodies breathing in skin. And in this article, he quotes a story that was shared to him by one of the researchers. And it says this: let's say that you're redecorating your home. And with a bit of Wes Anderson whimsy, you install two pendulum clocks on your wall. And what has been a mystery since 1655 is that they will eventually synchronize and start swinging through the seconds in perfect unison. Physics are just starting to physics is just starting to understand why. And even weirder, people do it too. Richard, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, I think here, Paul Bemmel, a research scientist at Northeastern University Compulation Behavior Science Lab, gave me the pendulum example when I asked him about interpersonal synchrony. Now, how psychologists describe the odd, magical, yet deeply normal tendency of the human to fall into rhythm with one another, from their gestures to their heart rate. You don't even have to speak, evidently. So here's what happens, is if we start hanging out and we start living with that, we start listening to them, we start, and I'm saying listening because we have a lot of stuff coming at us, we start falling into sync with them. We start walking like they do. There's a movie a long time ago called The Dead Poets Society, and there's a brief clip, and I was going to show it, except there was a scene in it, I thought, no, I don't want to have that shown in church, where these boys are walking around in a circle at the direction of the teacher. He says, I want you just to walk around, do your own thing. And they start walking around. And it doesn't take very long where eventually they're walking in step with each other. Right, left, and going around. And he says, there it is. That as we, anyhow, the point being that as we walk with one another, we become like one another. Why does God tell us it is good for us to gather together and be with believers? Who do you want to sync up with? So we want to be with one another. We want to be in sync with believers, be in sync with what God's doing. Okay, so let's move on here. Scripture goes on to say, so the blessed one does not stand in the way of sinners. And to stand, it means really to take your stand. It's a standing attitude. It's the way you present oneself. You're abiding and enduring and being steadfast in an attitude. It also means to grow flat and insipid, which means to lack flavor or saltiness. Isn't it interesting, let's see, that in Matthew 5:13, Jesus says this to us: you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on. In this day and age, each of us needs to know where we're standing. What kind of attitude is in our hearts? You know, there are so many voices coming at you today, even mine right now, that each of us need to stop and take a look at and say and see what's going on in my heart. Where am I standing? If we don't look any different than the world, what is it that you and I have that they would want? We've lost our saltiness. And the interesting thing is, you know, salt was very valuable in the Old Testament, valuable to us. We need salt. You know how they say don't put the salt shaker on the table? Well, that's because there's so much salt in the food already. But we need the salt. Our bodies need it. I don't mean tons of it. That's not what I'm talking about. But salt is a part of things that we need to live. In the Old Testament, It had great value. In fact, if you look in Leviticus at how they were told to make the offering, they were told to rub it with salt. Sacrifices. The bread, the show bread and the incense that were made for the holy place had to have salt in it. Salt is a part of the offering. It was a form of payment. How many of you have ever heard the expression, a man who's worth his salt? It was worth that they would be paid with salt. Salt has healing properties, cleansing and purifying and sanitizing properties, preserving properties. And when we take the time to recognize salt beyond flavor and to know what Jesus is saying here, you are the salt of the earth. With all of this, the Holy Spirit has filled you, and you are a healing property. You have a healing properties in you. You have Holy Spirit. Cleansing as you speak forgiveness over people. Preserving as you tell them the truth, right? But what happens when we lose it? What happens when that's not a part of us? When we stand in the way of sinners, we lose our saltiness. And Jesus has an answer to that. We become good for nothing, it's really, which sounds terrible, but if we're not, we're good for nothing. Words of Jesus, sorry. That's not who we are, right? We go back to our scripture. It says, stand in the way. Well, what is the way? It is the manner, the distance, and the direction. It's their habit, their course of life, their moral character, the way they tread and press and march, the way they bend, they lead. Do we want to be standing in their way, in their way of going? Of course not. Because you are in the road of the traveled by the sinner, because you're listening to who they are, you will lose your saltiness. And then it talks about, well, what is that sinner? Well, they are sinful. They're exposed to condemnation. Are you? No. Therefore, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Hold on to that thought. But if you're not going to walk or allow that word to establish you, guess what's going to happen in your own heart through your own thinking? You're going to start condemning yourself. Your own heart starts condemning you. They are ones who are reckoned as offenders of sin. They've missed the way. They're going wrong. They've incurred guilt. They've forfeited. They've missed the goal. Their path, they've missed the path of right duty. They begin to miss oneself, lose oneself, and wander from the way. That's what a sinner is. Wow, hey? We were ones who missed ourselves. Aren't you glad that you know who you are? And when we feast upon the word of God and he tells us again and again who we are, we're no longer a part of that group. But if we're not listening or not hearing the word of God, we can wander away from knowing who we are. We lose ourselves in that sinner's experience. Earlier I mentioned about walking in the sink. In sync with the unbeliever. Well, I want to tell you the blessing isn't syncing up with the unbeliever. The blessing, the place of happiness, is not when you journey along with the sinner. It's not joining them in their lostness. And it goes on to say, let's continue on here. Blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. Well, again, to sit means to dwell, remain, and abide. Do you want to inhabit the same place as the sinner, as the wicked? It talks about the being seated there, being seated in the assembly, the company, that dwelling place, the dwelling situation, to sojourn and to be in the habit of doing what the sinner does, of what the wicked does. Blessed is the one who doesn't. So we need to know, what are they doing, or do we? or do we need to know what God is doing? It says, we don't want to sit in the company of the mockers. A mocker is someone who boasts, they scorn, they believe someone or something to be worthless, and they look down on them, and they inflate themselves. Many years ago, I had a friend who, that was their whole conversation. Whenever we'd get together, it was always about kind of snickering and mocking and scorning and scoffing, you know, even the church. And they were a believer. You know, it got to a place that I found myself having to live in that place of carrying on those kinds of conversations because I was their friend. Except my heart, there was condemnation in my own heart, meaning I was, because I knew better. I knew better. And eventually that friendship had to end, because that's all that friendship was about, was an opportunity to scoff and mock. And it wasn't right, and it was hurting me, as well as the words that came out of our mouths together. In Romans 12:3, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with faith that God has distributed to each of you." Jesus himself has a prophetic word. He says, "We're going to Jerusalem," he said. "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." And then in Luke 23:11, you see, "When Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him," of course talking of Jesus, "they dressed him in an elegant robe and they sent him back to Pilate." And verses 34 to 36, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him, and they said, 'Save other, he saved others, let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine, vinegar." Mark 15:31 says, "And in the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. 'He saved others,' he said, 'but he can't save himself.'" That's the seat of the mocker. And do we want to be there? When we're mocking other people, that mocking, it says, whose image were we created in? God's. When we mock other people, we're mocking that man and woman who is created in God's image. When we look at this walking and standing and sitting, we see that there's just this slow, gradual move into a habitation place. We start walking with them, and we start standing with them, and eventually we're sitting down with them. We're abiding in the same place of the wicked and the sinner. But you know, it also gives us something that really, have you ever noticed that the way of the world is always inverted to the way of God? So where do we start? We start by sitting in his presence. We start by sitting in his presence. And it says, again, we're talking at the blessed ones, but those who are blessed, they delight in the law of the Lord. And they're the ones who meditate on his law day and night. Pleasure, delight, desire, longing, pleased with. Those who delight in the Lord, those who are find pleasure, desire, long, and are pleased with God's law. His law is instruction, direction, and prophetic teaching. In the law of the Lord, God, Jehovah, the existing one, I am. He is Jehovah Makadesh. I'm probably mispronounced that. The one who sanctifies us. He's Jehovah Jireh. The one who provides for us. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, who heals us from all our brokenness, from all our disease. And he is Jehovah Nissi. We are under his banner. And the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 24, he says, he brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. This is the God. This is the instruction we sit under. This is the direction. This is our God who teaches us, directs us, and has prophetic word over us. And it talks about meditating. Meditating is that moaning, that deep groaning and growls deep within until it bursts forth into roars. It is uttering, it is musing, it is muttering. In it we devise and we plot, and I don't mean plot evil, but we plan with the Lord and we speak it out. We meditate on the word of God. And it says we do this day and night. And the understanding of day is, well, day, daylight. But night comes with the understanding of there's a gloominess and shadows. So even in our times where there is gloominess and shadows, we delight in the word of the Lord. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In Luke 10, 41 to 42, Martha, Martha, the Lord, this is Jesus again, said, you worry and are upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen the better one, and it will not be taken from you, from her. What did Mary choose? To sit and listen to the word of God, to sit and listen to the word of the Lord, to sit in his presence, and it will not be taken from you. It will not be taken from you. In Galatians 2, 6, it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in him. Where are you seated? In Christ, in heavenly realms. We've spoken of that. I speak of that a lot. Psalm 37 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We sit in his presence and take delight in him. And man, we're blessed. Psalm 16:11 says, you will make known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Where are we seated? In heavenly places at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. And here's what he says, as we sit in his presence, he's going to make known to us, to you and to me, the path of life. And what's going to happen? You're going to be filled with joy. How many of you need a little more joy in your life? I say, come and have a sit down with the Lord. Go sit in his presence. And then from there, we can start standing. And when we stand, we become that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. When you know the Lord has taken us and he has transplanted us beside the stream of living water, he has grafted us into the tree, into the branch. And Jesus said, remain in me I am the vine and you are the branches. If my word remains in you, you will remain in me. If my word. So it's about getting the word. Who's Jesus? He's the living word. In Ezekiel, and I'm not going to put it up here because it's long, but I'm going to encourage you to go and read Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 12. But I'm just going to hone in on verse 7 here. It says, Ezekiel, after measuring, seeing the river and measuring it in the depths, he says, I returned, and there along the banks of the river were very many trees on either side, on one side and the other is actually how the NIV puts it. We are trees planted by the living waters of God. And I'll tell you, a tree that's planted and rooted down in the things of God is well established. And we are established, planted by the living water. Okay, let's move on here. Which yields its fruit in season. Well, I'll tell you what, when we yield, we are ones who bestow, we produce, we extend, we stretch out, because the fruit of a tree is for others, it's not for the tree. And we produce, we're productive, this fruit in season. And it's interesting there, it doesn't say seasons, because in heaven there's only one season. Planted by the river of God, it is always harvest. It's always fruitful, time of fruit. I guess I could say summer, because that's when the cherry trees and the peaches and all of that stuff are ready. But we are always in season. We always have something to offer. And it says in season, which just really means that time, an event. But here's what it goes on to say, and whose leaves do not wither. You who believe, you who are blessed, you are planted by the rivers of God, the river of God, with seasonal fruit, which is a season that never ends. And your leaves do not wither. But it also means this. It also means you will ascend, you will climb, you to meet, to visit, and to follow. That's interesting. How can the word leaf or wither mean that? But it does. Or I should say that's the word leaf. It means to ascend, to climb, to meet, to visit, and follow. Our leaves never wither when we go and sit and stand in the presence of God. We meet with him, we visit with him, and we follow him. And then we go on to the word wither. It means you will not wither. And here's craziness. It means you will not be senseless. You will not be foolish. You'll not fall. You'll not fade. You'll not sink, drop down, or droop. You will not wither. As we stand in the presence of the Lord, take that tree stand, that branch. You know, when we think about praise and worship, and we're like this, we're extending like a tree planted by the rivers, blessing God, producing fruit of worship. And then, whatever they do prospers. And again, prosper, experience success, to be profitable and be made to prosper. This is an experience that's for us because of the Lord. He causes us to prosper. But let's quickly look at the last part of this verse. Not so the wicked, they're like chaff that is blown away in the wind. And you know what it is about chaff? It's lifeless and it's the outer shell. And it really takes a beating. And the wind that blows it away is the same word used for the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment or sit in the assemblies of wicked. It doesn't mean they won't be judged. It means they won't be able to rise up, for they're going to know their wickedness. And they have no connection with the righteous. And that is a 2 Corinthians thing where it says, what does wickedness have to do with light? What does the darkness have to do with light? And they won't be able to sit in a place of judgment and decision. And we're told that the righteous will judge angels. We will judge in the heavenly kingdoms. Psalm 37:1 says, don't fret because of those who are evil or envious and those who are doing wrong, for they are like grass and they will soon wither. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to see the wicked prosper. It seems like they do. It's like, ah. But the Lord says, don't worry about that. Our last verse here says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. He's watching over you. But the way of the wicked will always lead to destruction. Psalm 37, verses 5 to 6 says, commit your ways to the Lord. And so as we have sat, know who we are and standing, we are starting to prosper. We're walking in the way of the Lord. And we commit our ways to the Lord. We trust in him in all that we do. And this is what he says he will do. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, but when they cry out their when they carry out their wicked schemes. We are a blessed people, amen? Are you a blessed one? And so let's, as blessed ones, stand and listen to the Lord and feast on his word. Don't just read it, feast on it. Stand knowing that you were firmly planted by the river of living water. We can take our stand knowing God's word and who we are and walk in the ways of the Lord, and you will see prosperity. Amen. Let's not lose our saltiness. Let's seek the Lord. All right. Sorry, I've gone over time. But let's pray. And Ralph's bringing up the box, so we're going to pray for that as he does that as well. Father, again, we come before you and we are thankful. We know that if we were to wander off now, we are on this side of the cross with Jesus who goes after the lost sheep. But Lord, help us. Help us to recognize when we're walking in the way of the sinner or sitting with them or even standing in the same road they are. Lord, we are blessed ones and we want to feast on your word, meditate on it day and night, and experience your blessing continuously. Father, we pray for every name and situation that is in this box. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. You are Jehovah Shalom, the one who brings peace. You are the one who sanctifies, Lord, Jehovah Kadesh. And Lord, you are Jehovah Nisi, whose banner over us is love. And so we thank you in your love, you deny no thing. And we ask, offer healing, prosperity, and blessing on every name in this box. And we give you thanks in your precious name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.